Welcome to episode 69 of Near Death Dolls. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Paige.
And we're your hosties with the mosties.
While talking about ghosties.
And other haunted antique shit.
Woo! We're back celebrating spooky season with the tale of the Dybbuk box.
Not to be confused with a dick in the box. Totally different thing, guys.
Aw, man. I'm out.
That's for Christmas when it's nicely wrapped and packaged. A package.
I can't wait.
But before we get going on this haunted item over here, Paige, what spirits are haunting your cup?
I will tell you, and I'm excited about it. Ooh. So even though it's kind of spooky season now, It's still very warm. So it's hard to want to get like a nice fall drink going. Mm-hmm. It's too hot outside. So I found a nice in between. This is the Julian Hard Cider Company, and they are here in Julian, California. It's like, I don't know, an hour or two drive from where I live, and the hard cider is very delicious. I think I've probably had it on the show before, but this particular flavor is the cherry bomb flavor, and it's called Explosive.
Oh, that sounds sexy.
It's sexy and delicious. Let me take a little sip.
So I'm guessing it's a hard cider with a cherry twist.
Exactly. It's hard apple cider blended with Montmorency cherry juice.
Ooh, fancy.
A little fancy.
A lot of fancy.
And delicious.
Well, we all could use a little bit of that right now.
Yes. And a chill drink.
Yeah. A cold drink.
Cold drink.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still definitely cold drink weather here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is that what you got right now? What are you drinking, Lisa? What's your spirit of the night?
Well, actually, I have a wine.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I am drinking a vino. I know. It's a, it's called Halos de Jupiter Côtes de Rhône. It is a medium-bodied, sweetly fruited style, such as dark fruits, black cherries, and licorice, as well as notable purity of fruit and classic peppery herb and floral notes, which reading that, I'm like, that's way too many things, but it's very good. I've already had one glass before dinner, ate dinner, and now I'm here having my next glass. It's beautiful. It's very nice. I like a drier red.
Okay.
But it's still, once it hits your tongue, you're like, okay, it's a red wine. And all of a sudden, there's this like little poof on your tongue. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a different flavor hits your tongue, and then you swallow, and it has a nice finish without being too dry where you're like, I need some water.
A little cotton mouth wine.
Nope. Oh, there goes the pop. Yeah, it's very nice.
It poofed on your tongue.
It poofed on my tongue. That sounds really dirty. It pooped on my tongue. No,
different kind of dick in the box game that we're going to play today.
Very different. Anyway, so yeah, I'm drinking wine, and the wine actually ties into our story.
No, it doesn't.
It does. Not this particular wine itself, but wine in general.
Oh, okay, cool. And before we dive into our spookity topic, we want to announce we have a contest.
We are doing a Near Death Dolls fan art contest. Submit your artwork that has anything to do with Near Death Dolls podcast, and the winner will get to choose a topic and who they want to cover it in a future episode.
That's right. And all artwork will be featured on our Instagram, and the winner will be announced in our upcoming Listener Stories episode on November 1st. Send your art to neardeathdolls@gmail.com and put art contest in the title.
Are you ready to get started with a Dybbuk box? Not a dick in the box.
Not a dick in the box. Not a Dybbuk.
Nope.
A Dybbuk. Dybbuk. I'm ready.
You're ready?
I don't know. I don't know what this is at all. I don't even know how to say it.
All right. Well, I'm excited. I always love when we have stories that we haven't heard before. It's a lot of fun. I like discovering things with you, Paige. Like things in a box.
We do unboxing videos.
There's a dick in here.
Do have a dick in my, it's my bottle opener. It's a big wooden penis with a bottle opener on the back.
I'm at a loss for words, Paige. You may have
Would
to
you like
that.
To see it? Okay.
Yes.
Give me a second.
Yes.
It's how I opened my bottle today, so it's fresh on the memory.
Okay, guys, while Paige is getting that, I will describe it to you. Well, I can't wait to describe it to you. I feel like we're okay. About to play Best Wishes again. Oh, my God, that's a dick.
You saw it already.
I was yeah, it's that. A dick.
It is. It is a big old wooden penis, and there's the bottle opener.
Okay, so it wasn't like a marital aid that you use because it happens to be able to open bottles, but
no.
Okay, it was made to be a bottle. I
assume
awesome.
So. It's been handed down from generations.
It looks well polished.
It does. I know. I was like, who sanded that sucker down? Oh. It's shiny.
Oh, God. All right. Well,
sorry. Ooh, I'm going to put that in a box and send it to you.
Great. Kyle's like, what'd you get from Paige? You don't want to know.
The box. It's a Dybbuk box.
That's right. So what the heck is a Dybbuk box, you may ask?
I am asking.
Okay. Well, it's a box that has a Dybbuk in it.
Ah, it's episode over. Thanks, guys. Thanks for being here.
Okay. So, well, a Dybbuk itself stems from Jewish folklore and is believed to be a disembodied human spirit that is searching for a living host.
Oh, shit, that's scary.
That's us. We're living hosts. We're hosties with the mosties. We're talking about ghosties.
We're talking about Dybbuks.
That's right. So, the Dybbuk has not moved on due to its sins in life. Back in the 1500s, a mystic named Isaac Luria discussed this in his doctrine, where he believed these human spirits wanted to continue the quest of self-perfection, so they seek out a human host to continue living.
Damn. Okay, so they're trying to get to pass on, so they're like, yes. I gotta get a body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can't do it without a body.
Right, right. Makes sense. Can't really do much without a body at all.
I mean, I can't, as far as I know.
No, I mean, I guess you could float around without a body.
I suppose.
You cannot do with one.
So while possession is a big no-no, it's also kind of understandable, right? Like, you need the body.
Right. If there's consent, I'm down. If you're like, hey, come on in, little spirit, you can take over for a bit. I'm going to take a nap.
So, if someone becomes possessed by a Dybbuk, they require an exorcism. So, with that basic understanding of what a Dybbuk is, let's discuss how one managed to get trapped in a box.
I would love to know.
Well, this story starts in 2001 in Oregon with an antique shop owner named Kevin Manis.
I didn't know it would be in the 2000s.
Well, I'm pretty sure Dybbuks existed before, but...
Right, but this particular story...
This particular story starts in 2001.
Damn, okay.
So, Kevin Manis. He'd often keep his eye out for garage and estate sales, because that's where you get some good shit, right?
Hell yeah.
You ever get anything good from a garage sale, Paige?
The most recent thing was two 25-cent t-shirts, and I wear them all the time. It's nothing special on the shirt. Mm-hmm. It's just good quality, and I wear them to walk dogs. How about you?
Nice, nice. My favorite things I got were these little music boxes. I think whoever lived in the house before, it was, I think, an estate sale, so someone did. And there are these little music boxes, and they take the little, you know how you get it, like a music box and has that little turny wheel?
Yeah.
Well, I got like four of these, and only one had a turny wheel, so you have to unscrew the turny wheel and you put it on the other ones. But my favorite Aww. One, yeah, but some of them have clear tops, so you can see the mechanism working.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's really cute. My favorite one plays Masquerade from Phantom of the Opera. So that's what I like. But anyways, so Kevin Manis, he comes across this old wine cabinet.
Oh,
that's where my wine comes into the story.
Hey. We found it.
Yeah. So,
poof.
Poof on my tongue. So, came across this old wine cabinet. The woman at the estate sale said it was called a Dybbuk box, though she wasn't actually sure what a Dybbuk was. She said it belonged to her grandmother, who had recently passed away, and the grandmother always called it a Dybbuk box. So that's like the family Dybbuk box. They're like, I don't know what it is. It's just the Dybbuk box.
No one bothered to ask grandma. They're like, okay, whatever. Just that's the Dybbuk box. Don't touch it. Don't ask her.
She had been actually a Holocaust survivor and brought this wine cabinet with her from Europe after the war.
That's cool that she survived, obviously.
Absolutely. I believe I read somewhere, I don't know if this is true or not, but that her her husband, her parents, and like one of her children had died. So when she came over here, it was like a completely new start for her. That's just, I don't know. That could be someone else's, you know, story. But anyway, so she brought only a few things with her. She brought this box. She brought a sewing kit and I think a little bag, like a little travel bag. But that's it. That's how she came to America. But she had originally gotten the box in Spain.
Wow, it must be some special box to her if she's like, I only have three things. This box, a toothbrush, like basically like yeah. that's all she's got.
She wasn't a big overpacker, but this was important to her. And it wasn't a very big box. I believe it was only maybe 2 feet by a foot and a half. I don't know. It was not a very big box. Knowing that this must be a very special keepsake, Kevin asked the woman at the estate sale if she'd rather keep it. And she's like, no, you can have it, but there is one requirement. He must promise to never open it ever.
I would say, no thanks, I'm fine.
Buy this box, but never open it.
Right, it's like, what's the point of having it if you can't open it?
No, absolutely. So, she didn't say why, except that her grandmother always told the kids, do not touch it. And she kept it out of reach of family members. She kind of kept it away from the kids, like, no one was to go near it.
And she didn't tell them why either. She's like, you could be possessed. That's a good way to say it. If you say that, I would be like, oh. At night, I would sneak in and, like, open it just to see if it happened.
Peekaboo!
Yeah, yeah.
See if anything happens.
Right, just to see if I get possessed.
I feel like I would be more curious not knowing what's in there. But if someone said, you'll be possessed, I'd be like, okay, at least I know what's going on here.
You're like, it's probably empty.
It's probably empty, but I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to risk my biscuit there. So, Kevin agreed not to open it. But after he left the sale, he was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You have to. You're going to buy something like that and not open it.
Yeah. So Kevin takes it back to his antique shop where he planned to refinish it and give it as a gift to his mother for her upcoming birthday. I'm like, that's sweet.
Here's a ghost in a box.
Well, he doesn't know that yet. He just knows don't open it.
Yeah.
So he took it inside to his basement workshop and dropped it off. He had some other things to do that day, and he was going to come back later to work on it. He had an employee who watched the shop while he was out, and she never had any issues being alone there. It was cool with her. She's cool. But about 30 minutes later, he got a call from her, panicked, saying someone had broken into the basement workshop and was smashing glass and swearing loudly.
Oh my God. Okay, has he opened it yet at this point?
Okay, okay. He just dropped it off.
Okay.
Now, even worse, she couldn't get out of the store. The front door was stuck and the emergency exit wasn't opening either.
Oh my God. All they said was don't open it. They didn't warn about all this stuff.
Well, you know, I'm thinking maybe the box hadn't been jostled in a long time and then it got like in the back of his truck, like bouncing around. And now there's a, you know, very pissed off spirit. And they're like, what the fuck?
Right? This is like a genie in a bottle being like, hey, ow, ow, ow. I'm getting a confession
in here. You
gotta
rub it the right way, baby.
That's true.
You can't just be bouncing it all around.
I'm trying to remember the rest of the song to join in on the joke, but it's gone out of my brain.
It's fine. More, you know, early 2000s references brought to you by Lisa and Paige.
It makes sense. The Dybbuk box was found in 2001 by this guy, so...
Yes.
Makes sense. We're just of the time.
This is of the time. Yes, absolutely. The Dybbuk had a very favorite song. He was definitely team Christina Aguilera, not Britney Spears.
Oh, I already don't agree with him.
I don't
or
either.
It.
Yeah. So Kevin was about to tell her to call the cops, but his phone went dead. He rushed back to the store, and when he got inside, he found his employee sobbing in his office.
Oh my God, this must have been so bad.
Yeah, think you're alone in the store and you're like, it's cool, I'm here all the time by myself, and all of a sudden you hear swearing and glass smashing. I'd be like, I'm gonna fuck the fuck out of here.
You're gonna say, I'm gonna fuck that ghost.
I'm gonna take that wooden crucifix penis Paige has and just go fuck that ghost.
Right, just go
God. Guys, it may not happen right away, but we do plan on having a YouTube at some point. We are recording our faces, and Paige just, like, totally air-shanked a ghost with a penis. A wooden penis. With a bottle opener on the other end.
It works. I gotta tell you that. It gets rid of all the ghosts. They don't like it.
Okay. And her. Paige's house is ghost-free. She is the new Ghostbusters. That's what the female Ghostbusters should have been. Just them walking around with wooden penises, like, shanking the air.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. How you like it, huh?
So, this woman's sobbing in the office. He went to the basement workshop to see what the heck was going on and found what made the broken glass that lay all over the floor.
Oh, sorry. I'm covering up Sam in the video.
Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. Now you're posing.
Teacher, teacher.
So, the reason there was glass all over the floor, there were 9 light bulbs that had burst, as well as 10 of the fluorescent tube lights in the ceiling.
Wait, is that where the Dybbuk box is mm-hmm. downstairs?
Okay. It's in the basement, waiting for him to go open it, and he hasn't opened it yet, but all of a sudden, all the glass, or the light bulbs shatter, all of them.
I know why she's crying now. That's freaky.
So, Kevin couldn't imagine how someone had even gotten down there without passing his employee, because apparently there's only one way in and one way out.
She should have seen it if someone was going to be breaking in.
Exactly. So, when he got back upstairs, his employee had left and never came back to work. She had actually worked there for 2 years, and whatever happened, she was like, fuck this shit. Like, oh no. God.
Would you go back, Lisa?
I don't know.
I think you would. I think you would. At least once, just to see if it happens again.
Maybe. I don't know. But you know what? For Kevin Manis, this was only the beginning.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Mm-hmm. A few weeks later, Kevin gets around to working on the wine cabinet, and he does open it. And here's what he finds inside. He finds a dried rosebud.
Aw.
A golden wine cup. Score.
Golden, huh? Mm.
A cast iron candlestick holder with octopus legs. Double score.
That sounds so cool.
He found 2 U.S. wheat pennies. And do you know what a wheat penny is?
No.
I Googled it because I didn't know either. I was like, what is a wheat penny? So right. A U.S. 1 cent coin minted from 1901 to 1956. And on the other side of the coin that says 1 cent, the edges are engraved with wheat stalks. So that's what a wheat penny is. They don't make those anymore.
So is it? So for him being like an antique salesman, is he like, oh, shit, this is really like a good find?
I did try to see what a wheat penny goes for. Not much. I think maybe a dollar.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
I mean, they don't make them anymore.
It's worth more than it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a cent.
That's 100% more.
Right. It's actually a pretty good turnaround.
Yeah. So, also, there was a small lock of blonde hair and a small lock of brown hair tied with some string.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad. I assume that's a sad thing.
It might be. I don't know. There was no explanation about whose hair it was. But, you know, sometimes lovers would give each other locks of hair, so it could have been a romantic thing.
Could be.
There was also a granite statue engraved with Hebrew letters that spelled out Shalom.
And that's peace, right?
I don't know. I'm not Jewish.
Give me a second. I believe it means peace. It means, it's a salutation meaning peace. So it's like peace to you. But oh, okay. Hello.
Peace to you. Well. Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay. So Kevin boxed up the items that he found inside the box, and he tried to return them to the original owner's granddaughter they had purchased them from, but she refused to take it. She's like, I don't want anything to do with what was in the box or the box itself. I don't want it. No.
She's like, you fucking opened it? You're dumb.
Yeah. She's like, don't bring back your bad juju over here. I don't need it.
Yeah, that's your fault. That's your haunting now.
You can't put a mask on a haunting, can you?
No.
That's private.
Can't shove it back in the box.
So on October 31st.
Hell yeah.
His mom came to the shop, and they were going to go to have lunch together to celebrate her birthday that had actually passed a few days before. But before they left, he gave his mother the present, the Dybbuk box.
Oh, he still gave it to her. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
At this point, someone had just broken in and, like, fucked up the lights and was swearing. That seems legit. Like, why would you blame that on the box? It could have been anything in his antique shop at that point.
You're right. He's not sure yet that that's the thing that's causing it.
Spoiler alert. It's going to take a lot for him to realize it's the damn box. A lot. This is, like, the worst horror movie.
Oh, is it? It's one of those that you're like, don't go in there. What are you doing?
No, it's the one where like the dad denies anything's haunted, even though things are like floating around his head.
Like, I have an explanation for that.
There's
don't worry.
There's a perfectly reasonable explanation for this. So Kevin gave her the present. She seemed to like it, and she was looking at it while he stepped away to take a phone call. Now, while on the call, an employee came into his office, a different employee, I guess. An employee came rushing into his office saying something was wrong.
Uh-oh. Another break-in.
No. When he and the employee rushed back to the main room, they found Kevin's mom sitting in a chair, expressionless, staring forward. She had tears running down her face.
No! Is she okay?
Kevin asked her what was wrong, and she could not respond. It turns out she had a stroke.
Damn it. I thought that as soon as you said sitting with no expression, I was like, please don't say she had a stroke. This poor woman is trying to celebrate her birthday.
I know. So once she was hospitalized, Kevin was told she was suffering from a partial paralysis and couldn't speak at the moment.
Oh.
She did eventually recover. But while she was in the hospital, while she couldn't speak, she could point to letters on a board to communicate. Like she could spell out things.
Okay.
Turns out it was a Ouija board. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
she didn't make it, but she could still communicate.
No, just kidding. I guess there was like a letter board and she could point to the letters. So
okay.
When he was visiting his mom, he asked her how she was doing. As tears welled up in her eyes, she pointed to the letters that spelled out no gift. And Kevin was baffled for a second. He's thinking his mom must have forgotten that he did give her a birthday gift. So he tells her, he goes, no, I did get you a gift. I didn't forget. She points to letters on the board again, this time spelling out hate gift.
Fuck. You listen to that woman, okay? She's telling you bad idea.
Hate it.
Hate it. Not just like, no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Hate.
Yeah, no gift. Like, no, I don't want the gift. And he's like, no, I got you a gift. He's like, hate gift. Fuck it.
I wonder what she saw. She had tears down her face.
Right? Who knows? Could have been horrifying.
Yeah.
So, was her stroke caused by an evil entity tied to that box, or was it just a coincidence?
Both. Maybe she was like, pre-existing conditions, and then she saw the Dybbuk, and she's like, boom. I don't know. We'll see.
So Kevin wasn't much of a believer in the paranormal, so it didn't even cross his mind that the box could have harmed his mother.
Of course. He's over here being the dumb dad.
But here's my thing. She's like, hate gift. I would kind of tie two and two together, because what mom is going to say she hates a gift from her son? Like, no mother would. Like, none. No.
And I'm sure being an antique dealer, he probably has given her some, I don't want to say dumb things, but, you know, it's like this box, for instance. It's like, what? They're not even supposed to open it. Why are you giving it to your mom? It's not worth anything. It's not like it might be pretty. I don't know.
It's okay. It's something you'd find at a yard sale.
Okay.
I didn't think it was that cool, but that's just me.
I wouldn't want it for my birthday. It's like, thanks for the box.
I mean, it's a bit of history. It made it all the way from Spain during the World War II. The World War II.
The world. The WW2.
Exactly. So, for whatever reason, Kevin decided to give the cabinet to his sister.
Oh. Hate gift. Hate gift.
Mom hated it. I really don't like it, okay?
You're right. So.
I loathe it.
Right. Loathe gift.
Loathe gift. So she had it for about a week and told him that the doors on the cabinet kept coming open on their own.
So, get rid of it. Hate gift.
So she gave it back because it was weirding her out. Then Kevin tried giving it to his brother and sister-in-law, who gave it back a few days after that.
Just try and sell it, dude. Why do you keep giving it to people?
Yeah, why do you keep passing around to people you know? Gross.
Right? They don't like it. Nobody likes it, okay?
Nobody likes it, okay? Stop trying to make this box happen. It's not going to happen. Damn it, Gretchen.
Fetch.
It's a fetch box, okay? The brother noted that the cabinet smelled like jasmine flowers, but his wife said it smelled like cat pee-pee.
Oh, those are two very different smells.
Yes, they are. It's you can't really get those two confused, I don't think.
No, is it like that? Oh my God, I can't remember what it is, but there's some movie where every time someone smells something, they smell something different based on... Oh, it's Harry Potter. It's fucking the love potion. I don't know why I didn't just jump to that conclusion, but the love potion is smells like what you love, so everyone smells it differently. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yes, but exactly. Depending on what you find.
Nobody loves cat piss.
Nobody loves cat piss. I mean, you know what? There may be one person.
Maybe if you can't smell so good. Yeah. Like, eh, this isn't so bad.
So, anyways, they gave it back. Then Kevin tried giving it to his girlfriend, who kept it for like 2 days and said, dude, I don't want this. Just sell it and get it out of our lives.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Give it away. Yeah, exactly. Get rid of it. Keep it in your basement. I don't care. Stop giving it to people.
Yeah, he passed it around to everybody like a freaking STD over here.
Jesus. The Dybbuk STD. But, you know... He's just a, that's, I guess that's all antiques are, is just constant re-gifting.
Wow. That was so insightful and poetic.
That's me. I love it. Philosopher. Philosopher.
You are the philosopher's stone over here. Stoned.
Oh. Yeah.
There you go. So, Kevin finally decided to sell it to someone he didn't know.
Okay, good.
So a couple comes into the shop and liked the cabinet and they bought it.
I'm sorry, you told me how big it was, but I've forgotten.
I think it's only like maybe 2 feet by like a foot and a half. It's not very big. Like you could carry it yourself, I'm pretty sure, based on the pictures I saw. It's not very big.
Okay. I've just mental image a little jewelry box, but it's quite, it's a little bigger
than that. It's a wine box. You could stick a couple bottles of wine in it.
And we should.
As we should. We're good here. I don't need that to keep my wine. I keep my wine in my mouth.
Mmm. The Dybbuk wants a taste, though.
Okay. So. All right. So a couple buys it. 3 days later, when Kevin arrived at his shop to open up for the morning, the cabinet was sitting by the front door with a note attached. This note says, "This has a bad darkness."
That's not even good grammar, and I'm down. I get it. This has a bad darkness.
Kevin claims he didn't know what that meant, but Kevin, buddy, at this point, you can assume there's something fucked up with this darn box.
You're right. You get hate gift, bad darkness.
Cat pee.
You don't want the box. Cat pee? Like, come on.
Look, Kevin, you should have got the message when your mom's like, hate gift. Like, I think that would be like, all right, well, no one else is going to like this. Mom don't like it. No one else is going to take it.
Nobody wants your damn fucking cabinet.
So the only logical thing for Kevin to do at this point was bring it home with him.
Oh, that I'm sure his girlfriend will love that. Whether they're living together or she just comes over once in a while, she's going to be like, oh, good, this thing again.
I think she only comes over once in a while. I think she has her own place. But so that very night as he slept, he had the first of many recurring nightmares.
What did he dream about?
Oh, it's good. He dreamed he was walking with a friend, and when he looked in his friend's eyes, he realized their eyes weren't right. They were demonic. And as soon as he'd start to panic, the friend would transform into a gruesome hag, and I feel personally attacked right now.
Right? Why did I say hag?
I'm guessing it was some kind of feminine witchy woman, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
So, anyways, this hag would start to beat him until he woke, and he would wake up panicked, realizing it was only a dream. Or was it?
It wasn't. It was the Dybbuk. It was the Dybbuk. Get it out of there! He's not going to get it out of there, is he?
No. So the following morning, he notices he has bruises all over his body that are sore to the touch, but still, Kevin didn't associate these bizarre dreams and the bruises with the Dybbuk box.
Oh my God. Was he just like, oh, I must have run into something.
A whole bunch all over my body while I slept.
Yeah. I took a tumble off a cliff.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, Kevin. He seems like he's just not the brightest light bulb in his shop. Well, because they all broke. Yeah, it fits. Mm-hmm. So this went on for a while. A few months later, his sister, brother, and sister-in-law, I guess they all came to stay with Kevin for a couple days. I guess they didn't live locally, and they were like, hey, let's have like a family get-together. So they all come and spend the night.
It's an intervention. They're like, we have to get you away from your damn box.
I don't even know if they knew that the box was in the house. But anyway.
The sister-in-law is like, I smell cat pee.
Did you get a cat recently?
He's like, nothing.
Nothing. Oh, gosh. So on the first morning, they awoke and met downstairs for coffee. His sister started talking about how she had a terrifying nightmare. She said she'd had it a while back, but now it happened again. And she told the others about the hag beating her.
Fuck, dude. Was this his sister or sister-in-law?
This was his sister. The brother and his wife were like, oh, my God, I had the exact same dream, too.
Oh, my God. Somebody get a hatchet. Go to the box. I don't know if that'll actually help. That could make it worse.
Of course not. That's not going to help. Come on, Paige. Come on. Yeah. So Kevin was astonished. He could not believe they all had the same dream. And finally, I guess it clicked for him that it probably had something to do with the Dybbuk box.
Duh.
Come on, Kevin. So Kevin thought to call his girlfriend and asked her if she had any nightmares where she'd been beaten by a creepy old hag. And she said, yeah, I had it a while back. He said, was it back when I gave you the box? And she confirmed that's when it happened.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's the box. There's a hag in the box.
There's a hag in the box. Yes.
Sorry, never mind.
All right, someone.
Is that a Jack in the Box reference?
It's a Dick in the Box reference.
Oh, Dick in the Box.
This is Dick in the Box right. Song, Paige. Come
Hack
on.
In the box.
So, Kevin says days later, he began seeing shadowy figures out of the corner of his eye. Even people who were visiting his house would say they sensed and kind of saw the same thing. Little, like, shadowy thing in the corner of their eye.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I lived in a house like that. It was like any time you'd walk down a certain hallway, there was always some kind of dark thing. And then you turn to look, of course, it's gone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you always feel like some eyes are on you. Oh, mm-hmm. It's creepy.
Yeah. So one night, his smoke alarm went off while he was sleeping. And he rushed around the house to see the source, but found no smoke and no fire. He did, however, note the strong smell of cat pee.
This Dybbuk is a cat lady, isn't it?
Probably an old cat lady, an old hag cat lady. Kevin didn't even own a cat, so he panicked. He put the box outside on his patio, and he's like, okay, you know what? I can't sleep. I'm going to Google this shit. Now, he fell asleep while researching, and when he awoke, he said the cat pee smell was gone, replaced with the scent of jasmine flowers.
What? Okay. So it's going, like, between the sister-in-law and the brother, from cat pee to jasmine. Mm-hmm. But why?
Don't know.
Did he please the Dybbuk? Is the Dybbuk like, okay, now I'm happy. You're good.
The Dybbuk just wanted some fresh air, for goodness sake.
Right? Let me out.
So Kevin was done with this damn Dybbuk box. He did the one thing you should never do because it's against the terms of service. He put it on eBay.
Yeah. Wait, is it a term of service? Don't put haunted objects on eBay.
You're not allowed to put haunted objects. It's for entertainment purposes only.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I think this is...
Because we've seen some on there.
I'm not saying this is haunted, but it's haunted.
It's fucking haunted. Little parentheses. It's actually haunted, but it's not.
But it is. Exactly. So, put it on eBay. And the lucky winner of the Dybbuk box was a guy named Josef Nietzsche.
Nice. Okay. Does he know what he's getting into, or was Kevin just like, it's a box, you'll love it?
No, he did kind of put a little bit of the story on the eBay description. But by the way, Josef goes by Sam. So that's what I'm going to call him.
Oh, that's
easier to remember, much easier to say.
Yeah.
I literally had to phonetically spell it out. Eosif. It's spelled Iosif. Yeah, Eosif. Mm. But Sam.
Sam.
Sam. Sam's like,
love
what?
Love you, Sam. Yeah, I know, right? You just got a haunted box. You didn't know.
Didn't even know it. So Sam and his roommate Brian had been checking out the box on eBay one evening and toying with the idea of bidding on it. A few weeks later, Brian comes home and smells the cat pee-pee, and there's Sam with the box. Not the litter box, but the big box, just so we're clear.
I wonder if he'd even said that in the description. May smell like cat pee.
Or it may smell like jasmine flowers. It's kind of just the luck of the draw. You never know.
If you're nice to the box, maybe you get to flowers.
Put it outside to smell like flowers. It'd be great. So Sam got the box. He hadn't told Brian that he bid on it, but Sam did end up bidding and winning the Dybbuk box.
Cat pee affirmed.
Absolutely. He's like, son of a bitch. The description was spot on. I'm going to leave a good rating for Kevin.
Good job, Kevin.
Great description. So they used it as a topic of conversation at parties, and Sam kept a blog about the spooky events they'd experienced while owning the box.
Okay, so did they have the dream too, the hag?
Let's see. I'll get there. Mm. I'm like, I don't know. Okay. I wrote this last week. So electronics in the house began dying. There was an infestation of bugs that would crawl on and around the box. And at first I was like, oh, that's haunted. But then I'm like, no, these are college guys all living together. I've seen what happens in a house when college guys live together. The bugs were not from the haunting, I promise. They were just disgusting.
They had stacks of pizza boxes on top of the box, and that's where the bugs came from.
They're dude, like, oh, it's haunted. Shit. Dude, take out the trash.
Right. Haunted with mold is what it's haunted with.
Gross. The guys, along with a few other roommates that lived in the same house, started waking up with their eyes all bloodshot, but honestly, they're probably just partying too hard. They are college guys.
I was going to say, this just sounds like a bachelor.
Yeah, this is a total bachelor pad. So Sam actually started losing big patches of his hair and claimed that he had no underlying medical conditions.
Now it's a lot more like my Sam because he's bald.
He's got facial hair, though.
He does a lot of body and facial hair.
There you go. It just moved south.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all right with it. There I get go. A big fistful. It's good.
Sam did begin seeing the dark figures that Kevin, the former owner, had seen.
I don't like it.
He started withdrawing from his friends and became somewhat obsessed about his blog, about writing about the haunted Dybbuk box. Like, that's all he wanted to do. He didn't want to come out of his room. Just kind of hermit-like.
He's trying to pull a Julia thing and get a movie deal on his blog.
Perhaps.
I'd watch that movie.
Spoiler alert, there is a movie based on this.
I'll watch it after this.
I think it's called The Possession. But when I looked it up, I was like, oh, it says it's available on Netflix. It's not available on Netflix in the U.S. So unless you have the way to crack it and get all the other countries, I think it's in another country. Which I'm like, damn it.
God damn it.
So one person who started following Sam's blog was named by a man. Sorry, there was a man by the name of Jason Haxton, who was a director at a nearby medical museum.
Wait, a medical museum?
Mm-hmm. He was the director of a medical museum.
Was he trying to get the box in the medical museum?
So Jason was intrigued and was convinced that he might be able to find a scientific reason for the spookity-spookitiness.
I don't think so, Jason. Fuck you trying to put science on this.
When he read on Sam's blog that it was going to be up on eBay soon, Jason was ready to bid on it. And he ended up winning, paying double what Sam had won it for from Kevin.
Damn, Sam, trying to get some coin. All right.
Mm-hmm. He did it, too.
He did.
Yeah. So when Jason received the box, he noted that there was a drip of wax down the front of it, and he suspected that it might have been recently used in some kind of ritual.
It's Sam's house?
Maybe. Or maybe, ooh, like people who, you know, or bachelors do. You might have put a candle on top and just happened to, like, drip down the front.
Oh, could be. Maybe they were like, hey, baby, let's light some candles when they brought a girl home.
Mm-hmm. Very well could be.
Different kind of ritual.
Definitely different. Well, sometimes the same. It's all good. Anyways. But Jason was a man of science, a scholar, and a gentleman.
Oh, a gentleman as well.
I don't know. Okay. He brought the box to the museum that he worked at and was going to give it to some colleagues to look into. Within a few days of bringing it, most of the computers stopped working.
Oh, shit. Even science is not immune.
No, not at all. Technology.
Yeah.
So data actually disappeared from other computers. Light bulbs began shattering. And Jason's colleagues all kind of started getting sick.
Fuck, man. Mm-hmm. This thing just needs to go. Put it in the dump. Let it haunt the seagulls and rats that live out there.
Great. That's all we need is like flying rats, which.
Yeah. Haunted rats, haunted like rats. Possessed rats.
So his colleagues finally begged him to get rid of the box. So he ended up taking it home.
Oh, come on, dude.
I mean, what else is he going to do with it? He paid double for this thing.
And they didn't find any answers.
Nope. They thought it might be radioactive, but they tested it and it wasn't.
Good.
Because, I mean, contact with, like, radioactivity can make you feel sick. It can cause other things to happen, right? So they're like, that must be the explanation, right? No. They didn't find anything radioactive about it.
Well, that's good, too.
Yes.
We don't want that. No.
So once in his home, Jason began having those same nightmares about the hag beating him.
Damn. It didn't say that Sam did, right?
It didn't. Never said. Not that I saw anywhere. But he had a lot of other things going on.
Yes. You know, yes, he did.
Midterms.
He basically got. Yeah, I know, right?
Girl problems.
Rush week. Yeah. Yeah. Moldy pizza. Probably got sick from that.
Mm-hmm. In addition to the hag beating him, he would also see dark figures that the two previous owners had experienced.
Scary.
Still not sure of how the box might be causing this. He took it to a rental property he owned and stored it in the basement there. So it's like out of his home somewhere else.
Damn, what a smart investor. He's got a house. He's got a place he's renting out.
yeah. Diversify. So upon arriving home, this disturbed me. He started vomiting mucus. And not just a little, like globs and globs of thick yucky mucus, vomiting it up.
Oh my god. So he dropped it off, went home, mm-hmm. and that's when he got sick.
Yes.
Go get that box. It's saying, don't leave me.
His wife had come into contact with poison ivy, I guess out somewhere, and said that the contact spots actually started bleeding. And I don't know how common that is, but ouch.
I feel like you'd have to scratch real hard.
I don't know if she actually scratched or what was going on there, but the globs of mucus still gets me, though.
Yeah, that's much worse. I mean, you know, I've had, what's it called, poison ivy, mm-hmm. you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that. It sucks. It sucks a lot, but globs of mucus, the throwing up. Ugh. Who's got to clean that up? Probably the wife.
Probably, with her bleeding wounds. So Jason's fed up and decided he needed to know more. He contacted Sam, from whom he'd bought the box, who put him in contact with Kevin Manis, the antique store owner. Kevin said he would reach back out to the family of the original owner to see if he could get more details, because they're all having these issues, right?
I wonder if the family ever had issues like that, or if it was like, everything's okay as long as you don't jostle it or open it, or...
Who knows? He was able to reach a cousin who told him a little bit more about the Dybbuk box. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Sorry, okay. You're welcome for the musical interlude.
Little intermission.
Mm-hmm. So the cousin said that the grandma had escaped from a concentration camp and went to Spain. While there, she tried to use a Ouija board to contact spirits that would help her in assisting to kill Hitler so the war would end. She's like, well, you know what? I'm calling on all the spirits. Let's go attack this guy.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean,
it kind of worked. I mean, Hitler died.
He did die. But she accidentally contacted a Dybbuk, whose malicious behaviors made Bubby, which is Yiddish for grandma, realize she had made a big mistake.
You would think the Dybbuk, which is a Jewish spirit, go kill Hitler. Like, I got you, girl. I know exactly who you want. I'm going to go get him. He sucks.
Well, I have two theories on that. Number one, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Jewish ghost. It was just from Jewish folklore. Also, if you're a Dybbuk and you're trying to, I don't know, maybe not atone, but try to achieve perfection, would you really go after someone to kill them if you're trying to be more perfect? Killing is killing, but then there's killing Hitler, which is okay, right?
That's what everyone says.
Sure. So, no, I'm totally fine. Kill Hitler. We should all just kill Hitler.
We should. Get him in here.
So she purchased this wine cabinet to capture and imprison the Dybbuk. But Dybbuks don't just suffocate and die. They're eternal spirits. So she knew that no matter what, she couldn't allow this box to be opened or it would wreak havoc on everyone around her. Like Jumanji, kind of.
Ooh, Jumanji. Good movie. The first one.
I didn't see the other one.
You didn't? No. There's two more now. Oh,
shit. No, I didn't see any more. So with this knowledge, Kevin relays it back to Jason. Jason talks to a few rabbis who all advise him to secure the Dybbuk box inside a gold-lined container, and that should hold in the evil spirit attached to this box.
Damn. I'm glad it hasn't possessed anyone, to our knowledge. It kind of seemed like it possessed Sam a little bit because he was acting funny.
Possibly, but I'm not. I feel like it would be harder to get him out because they say you actually have to have an exorcism to get the spirit out of you. It's not like he just goes where the box goes, but he still could have been affecting Sam. That's fine. And yeah, I am kind of surprised he didn't just try and jump in somebody. But then again, it may be a lot harder to do. I don't know. I don't know the logistics.
Right. Maybe it's like, I never got any practice at this. I keep trying.
So Kevin does this. He buries the box in an undisclosed location in a box that is lined with gold.
That sounds very pricey.
It doesn't have to be thickly lined. You know, it's just a lined box. It doesn't have to be, it's not a solid gold box.
Go to the pawn shop and get like some gold chains and just like put them around. You sure these are gold?
So the Dybbuk box lies dormant for nearly 15 years. That is until someone famous gets involved.
Oh, let me guess. Okay. Sissy Spacek.
No. Why would you go there?
No. Oh, she loves like psychic phenomena and like hauntings, and she thinks she's a psychic and medium and stuff like that. I was like, okay, who do I know that's famous that likes spooky stuff?
Make it a man and make it douchier.
Ooh, okay. There's a lot that just ran through my mind right now. It says 15 years after 2001-ish.
Mm-hmm. Do you want some clues?
Yeah.
He has a museum in Las Vegas of haunted objects.
Ripley?
Nope. He has his own ghosty show on Sci-Fi.
The Ghost Adventures guy?
Zach Fuggin Baggins of Ghost Adventures fame.
I get what you mean now by the douchey part.
I'm sorry. If you guys like him, I apologize. I cannot stand him. My thing. But if he's your thing, you do you, baby.
He's entertaining in like a bro way. I like seeing bros go after ghosts, but I don't like it enough to keep watching it.
There's gonna be another bro involved. Just you wait, okay?
Okay.
All right. So,
is it the Dybbuk?
No, Dybbuk's a hag.
Oh, you're right.
So not only does Zach do ghost adventures, he also has the Las Vegas attraction called Zach Baggins the Haunted Museum. And it has all manner of haunted, cursed, and macabre items, such as Charles Manson's bone fragments.
I heard Charles Manson's bone, and my brain stopped, and I was like, what?
Boner!
Got the boner. We got this thing.
Yeah.
Charles Manson. Gross.
He also has the Devil's Rocking Chair, which I'm not really familiar with, but I'd like to investigate that. And he also has Dr. Kevorkian's Death Van. Do you know who Dr. Kevorkian is?
Death Doctor, right?
Yeah, he helped assist in suicides, I believe.
Okay.
I believe.
So Baggins got a lot of creepy stuff.
He's got a whole haunted museum full of most. Well, haunted stuff. But his piece de resistance, he decided, would be to acquire the internet-famous Dybbuk box.
Oh, is it internet famous now?
It is internet famous because we've had blogs, we have eBay postings, like it's gone all around the internet. And that was the one thing that he wanted so badly.
You gotta find it first, you bitch.
Get to digging. It's somewhere out there in a gold-lined box.
Right, just find the gold-lined box. It could be anywhere in America.
It's like the golden ticket from Willy Wonka. I got the golden Dybbuk. Y'all didn't realize this episode was a musical, did you?
Bitches, we tricked you. This is a whole musical show now.
Move over, Hamilton.
I know, right? We got near-death dolls. Mm-hmm.
So, in 2018, so very recently, he buys it from Jason Haxton for a rumored $10,000.
Damn. Okay, so the price just keeps creeping up.
It really does. So, Zach has this box, but he hadn't opened it until 2020 on a special four-part episode of Sci-Fi. I don't know how they stretched it out over four episodes, but I think they did a special like quarantine thing where it was just his crew inside the haunted museum. Like no one came in, no one came out. They just investigated all their stuff. I'm assuming. I didn't watch it because it's not free anywhere. I couldn't find it.
And it probably is not fun. Hey, you know what? It might be fun to watch the Dybbuk opening, but...
But the thing is, it's already been opened.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, the damage has been done. What else are you going to let out? More cat piss?
Yeah, exactly. I think, yeah. So here's what I'm thinking. The Dybbuk was in the box.
Yeah.
Kevin Manis opens the box for the first time and who knows how long. And then the spirit, I'm guessing the Dybbuk, like, surrounds the box. Like, it's home base. It's its beacon. It's the one area it has to kind of stay attached to. Kinda. Just a thought. But anyway, so I'm like, he's floating around on the outside. You open the box, it's not going to do shit, okay? In my opinion.
We'll see.
We'll see. So.
We'll see if Zach becomes possessed.
Maybe it'll be normal. Anyway, so Zach said upon opening the box, they saw a mist come out. And they thought they saw an entity crouching down towards the wall behind the box.
Fucking liar.
Hey, he paid a lot. He's gonna get a ghost out of this one way or another.
Exactly. I'm like, you know, I get it, you're trying to get the ratings, but
yeah. So one final story about this Dybbuk box.
Is it after Zach Baggins? Did someone else buy it now?
No. It's gonna stay in his haunted museum probably forever, but this has to do with a lyricist by the name of Austin Richard Post.
Fuck.
A.K.A. Post Malone.
Oh! Okay, I barely know who he is, so I didn't know he had a different name.
Yep. Toasty Posty.
Aw, toasted.
So, Toasty Posty is visiting the museum, and he's getting a personal tour by Zach.
Of course.
Of course. So, you can see there's some camera footage from what I think is like a security camera, and you can find this online. I watched it. No, I'm haunted. No, I'm just kidding. So, he's getting the tour. They go into the room with the Dybbuk box, and Zach walks over and puts his hand on the box. And from the video footage, you can see Post Malone is, like, really not comfortable with him touching it. I guess he's a true believer, and he was like, dude, Post Malone reached over to Zach to, like, get him to leave. He kind of, like, pulls on his, like, shoulder a little bit, but... It's very strange. Zach, like, pulls away like he's offended by being touched. It was very odd. And just from Post Malone touching Zach, Toasty Posty believes he's been cursed.
From touching Zach, who was touching the box.
Yes, he didn't. Yeah, Posty didn't even, like, touch the box himself. He was, like, you know, the current going through.
Right, it transferred through the bodies.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. So shortly after, Post was on an airplane that had the tires on the landing gears blow out. Now, they were able to land safely, but then he got into a car accident, and then some intruders broke into his former home, where they were possibly intending on killing him. But
it's a former home. They didn't do their research.
No, they didn't. He had actually sold the house to someone else who ended up getting injured by the intruders. And this was all within a month of visiting the Dybbuk box.
Okay. Misfortune. I'll say misfortune.
Now, like I said, there is a movie called The Possession that's based on this loosely. But I wanted to tell you about the couple weird things that happened while researching this.
What the fuck? Did you get some transference of bad juju?
I might have. If I'm not mistaken, I read somewhere that some people earlier in the internet, I guess right after this came out, were asking Kevin Manis to take down all the pictures of the Dybbuk box because they felt like they could get cursed through their computer screen. So who knows? Maybe I am being haunted or something, but here's what happened to me.
Yes, please. What happened?
They're all explainable, but they're also happened at the very wrong time, okay?
Did you have a hag dream? Are you covered in bruises?
No, I'm not, but Kyle has two bruises, but that's because he had to get blood work done, so.
Oh, okay. Totally different. Probably not. No. Okay.
What happened to me was one night I woke up. Now, from where I lay in my bed, there I can see my hallway closet. Well, I woke up one night and it was open a little bit. No. And I'm pretty good about closing doors and I don't remember it being open. Now, if Kyle had gone in there and he didn't shut the door all the way, the cat has an obsession with laying on the towels. So it stands to reason that the cat might have opened the door a little bit and went in there and then came back out.
Could be. But
I thought it was very strange because she doesn't usually do that at night because she wants to be in the bed with us at night. And when I woke up, she was in the bed with us. So I guess that could happen at any point. But the way the shadows work is I could definitely tell that the closet door was open because there was like this blackness in the closet. Anyways.
The straight yes. line of, yeah.
So there was that. And that was a few days ago. Last night, we're about to go to bed. I am obsessed with checking all the doors, making sure they're locked. So I check the garage door. I check the front door. I check our back door. Mm-hmm. Okay. I checked all the doors. I go lay in bed for a few minutes. And I'm like, you know what? Did I feed the cat? So I get up. I go, and it's kind of dark in the living room. Not totally dark, but a little dark. I feed the cat. And as I'm walking back, I have these two ceramic pumpkin lanterns.
That sounds awesome.
They're very cute. Very, very stylish. White pumpkin lanterns with like little cutouts. And they're battery operated. But as I walk by, one of them is on. And I don't turn them on. Because I don't like the idea of wasting batteries. So I never turn it on. It was on.
Purely decorative.
Like, to me, yeah, I don't need the little lantern on. I never turn it on. It was on.
That's scary.
So there was that. And then I'm like, huh. So I pick it up and I kind of toggle with the switch and I turn it off. I ask Kyle, did you turn on the pumpkin? And he's like, no, I didn't touch that. And I'm like,
yeah, I was going to say, I don't think Kyle would have done it out of nowhere. No.
So I go lay in bed. And as we turn off the lights in the bedroom, turn off all the lamps, I notice something's glowing in the living room. It's not the pumpkin.
Okay. I was like,
I noticed something glowing, which I've never noticed before. And it's not just me because I just don't notice things. I'm very aware of like light changes and stuff. I'm very, I don't want to say sensitive to it, but I am. Like, I notice that kind of thing. I get up and I'm like, what is that glowing? It's like kind of bluish. I get up. We have a subwoofer in our living room. I guess has a light on it, but I have never noticed. And I'm like, I turned off everything. Kyle's like, yeah, the light stays on sometimes for a few minutes and it'll power itself off. I'm like, but I've never seen that. And we do it where we turn off the TV, go directly into the bedroom, and turn off the light. Like, I've never seen that. I've lived in my house 4 years. I have never, yeah, ever seen that light on. I didn't even know it had a light. And this is the first time I'm seeing it. It was very, very weird.
I'm scared already. What the fuck?
So, I guess that's the extent of my haunted things. I think the creepiest thing was just the pumpkin and the door, but then the subwoofer light kind of just threw me off. And especially because it happened like right after the pumpkin. I'm like, that's so weird.
Yeah, it's like trying to fuck with you. It's like, here's another light. Ha ha.
You're obsessed with checking the doors and turning off lights, and here's some more lights.
Yeah, more lights for you to turn off. Mm-hmm. Damn.
All right.
Any cat piss smells? If there was, I know you have a cat, but still.
Yep. But actually, I think I've talked about, I don't know if I talked about it here on the podcast or if I talked in Dolls After Dark, but remember I've told you that I can wake up smelling, I'll wake up smelling things, right? I've smelled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've smelled wet dog. I've smelled patchouli. And this one I've had before, but it happened again. The very distinct smell of cigarette smoke. And it was strong. Last night, I woke up smelling the cigarette smoke.
Girl!
And neither of my neighbors, I don't think either one of them smoke. But it smelled like someone had just been standing over me with a cigarette. It wasn't just like, yeah, we don't keep windows open in our house. It just got done raining, so that wasn't going to happen. But I swear, it smelled just like cigarette smoke.
And this has happened before. This mm-hmm. isn't a Dybbuk necessarily in occurrence, unless the Dybbuk is just like poking whatever's already in there. Like, hey, wake up. No.
But yeah, it was just weird because I had several weird kind of things happen in a row. But that's me. It's whatever. It probably is nothing. But
it happened last night. Last night. A lot of these things.
Yeah.
We were supposed to record this episode like 3 days ago.
I know.
And it's still happening to you. I wonder if, having recorded it now, if things will calm down or get worse.
Let's hope they calm down. But you know what? It's only the beginning of spookity season. So we'll have to see where it goes. I know we got some interesting things planned for the month of October.
Yes, we do.
We do. Some good topics.
You got to keep us updated to see if anything else mm-hmm. creepy happens.
I will definitely keep you updated. So Paige, what do you think about this Dybbuk box situation here?
The situation.
The sitch.
I think it's haunted as fuck. Usually, you know, I don't know. The fact that he's passed it or it's been passed around from hand to hand and everybody's experienced something, I'm not going to believe Zach Bagans when he says he's experienced stuff. But everyone else, even Post Malone, got fucking touched by this thing.
Touched by a Dybbuk.
Touched by a Dybbuk.
An angel.
A good show. Punched by a Dybbuk in your sleep.
Much better.
Yeah, I think it's haunted. What do you think?
Oh, for sure haunted. So, but what do you think of, do you think they should have kept it buried? Do you think this guy should have, you know, I mean, $10,000 is $10,000. That's a nice little chunk of change. I don't care who you are.
I don't say no to that. You can have it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But should they have left it buried? I mean, as long as everybody knows the dangers of touching it and going to see it. No, it's fine. And if it's like in his museum and not at his house, he's probably fine. I think we would have heard about it if he's seen anything else going on with it, because he would be like, attention, give me attention.
Attention, I need it. But you know what he should do to protect everybody is put it in a golden room.
There you go. That's what he should have spent that $10,000 on.
Yeah.
A fully golden room.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure he probably has someone come and bless or whatever the haunted museum. Because this thing is full of haunted shit, okay? It's not just the Dybbuk box. Although it's considered to be one of, like, the most haunted items in existence. Like,
fuck.
Probably top 10.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm thinking it's like the, what are their names? The Warrens. Mm-hmm. Their room that they had that had Annabelle and, like, toy boxes and shit that's like they had to have someone come and bless it once a month or something. Seems like that.
I wonder if he has ever tried to buy anything from the Warrens.
I was just thinking that. I was like, the Warrens are both dead. Where is Annabelle?
Oh, she's living the high life.
She's over here in my closet. She like pops up right here. Hi, I'm here.
She and Chucky ran off together. They're doing good.
Seed of Chucky.
Mm-hmm. I think the Warrens Museum is being ran by their son-in-law, their daughter and son-in-law. So I think it's still in operation. I don't know 100%. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, I bet you anything he's tried to buy. I wonder if he's ever asked, like, can I buy Annabelle? Like, that would be awesome. That's probably the most famous haunted thing.
I would think so, especially after the movies.
Yeah, I would think so. So... anyways, any final thoughts, Paige, before we wrap this
up? Don't open a box.
That
you don't want to.
Yeah, it might be Paige's dildo bottle opener.
Every time I send Lisa a package, she's going to be like, should I open this? Is this
gonna be? She's flopping it around in there.
Yeah, you're like, clunk, clunk. What the fuck is it?
Yes.
No, I need this. This is my only bottle opener. I need that.
But only 1 of 100 dildos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, their stuff has other functions. Oh, yeah.
It's a 2-in-1. It's a twofer.
Right. I've got chokers and dildos both hanging up right here.
Well, no matter what, it's going to be a fun night for Paige.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time.
What do you think, Lisa? What's your last thoughts on this box?
I don't know, man.
Would you open it?
Probably, yeah. I like boxes. I have gone to, like, Goodwill and like, thrift stores, and I've bought several, like, trinket boxes. I collect cool cigar boxes. So, yes, I would probably open the box.
So you'd be like, maybe not for $10,000, but if it was, like, $5 on eBay, you'd buy it and open it.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, I wouldn't purposely seek out a haunted box to open. I wouldn't go on eBay and buy one. But if I was in Zach Bagans' museum and someone's like, hey, you're allowed to open the box if you want, and be like, okay, cool,
let me do it.
All right, let's do it.
That's awesome.
Would you open it?
Yes, I think I would. If I saw for $5 on eBay it's like, haunted box, don't open, I'd be like, oh, but I want to.
I shouldn't be selling it. Well, there you go.
There we go. Dybbuk all wrapped up in a box,
all wrapped up. Guys, that's our episode. Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, maybe you'd like to join our Patreon. We have 3 great tiers to choose from, and plenty of perkity perks, like our newest show, Dolly Docs, where we watch cool true crime docuseries, release companion episodes, breaking it down, and generally getting upset by the things we cannot change.
I feel like that's my whole life. Yeah. And just generally have a good time. We like to have a good time on our Patreon.
Yes.
But don't forget our other show, Dolls After Dark, where we both come with topics to discuss, and then we get dark, but mostly silly. So if you like our regular episodes, come join our Dolly community on Patreon. The links are in our show notes.
And as if you need any more reason to listen to us in a upcoming Dolls After Dark, Paige and I decided we were going to read some erotic fantasy novels, and we're going to do a little mini book report.
Do we want to give like a little, like the subject matter of our books that we're reading?
Mine has to do with a sexy Bigfoot.
Oh, you know what they say about big feet.
Oh, yeah. Big shoes.
Big shoes. Yep, that's exactly what they say. That's awesome. Mine is about a kraken.
Oh, I'm thinking a little tentacle stuff going on over here.
I'm excited. I'm going to see, but I'll let you know on Sunday when we record Dolls After Dark.
Yes, if you want to hear that nonsense, you should join our Patreon. You can hear it.
That's right.
So also, speaking of checking things out, you should check out our socials. Come join us on Instagram at Near Death Dolls Podcast. Tweet us on the Twitter at Near Death Dolls. We have a TikTok account where we're having so much fun. Just search Near Death Dolls Podcast. And we're on Tumblr at neardeathdolls.tumblr.com. And if you want to help a doll out, subscribe and leave us a review. It's free. It takes 2 seconds and we would so appreciate it. And we'll feature it on our Instagram as a way of saying thank you.
Hell yeah. Thank you in advance.
Yeah.
And as always, darling dolls, be good to each other.
Until next time. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Open the box.
Keep it in the box.
Oh. No, open it.
Line it in gold.
Yeah, if you have enough gold lying around to line it, do
Who
it.
Who doesn't these days?
I know I do.
I know. If you can afford avocado toast, you can afford a gold lined container for your Dybbuk box.
Right. You gotta keep yourself safe with avocado and gold.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing ghosts hate more than avocado.
It's a good fat. They can't have any, so they're angry.
I would be angry too. A special thanks to Sam Hears for our art and music.
If you'd like to see more from him, check out the links in our show notes.